Welcome to our fifth Sunday where the students take over. We are so excited to have you guys with us. And we have some participants from the Mission Experience, as you got to see in the video. And we just got some quick questions for them to share about what they did this summer, some of the experiences they had, and how they saw the Lord move. So if they look at you, smile at them. It's kind of scary being up here. You could have given me $1 million when I was a kid, and I would not have come up on stage. So if they look at you, don't scowl at them. Give him a big smile. All right. So, Mr. Ezra, your question. Share about where and what you're doing during your trip this summer.
So, we went to Sholo, Arizona, and we went to the American Indian Christian Mission. And while we were there, we weren't able to help the kids there but because of COVID, but we were able to help out the ministry there. So, we did think like a dozen projects, and we weren't expecting to get it all done, but we were able to finish all of them by Wednesday, and then we went out to help another church because the ministry ran out of projects.
That's a good problem to have. Were you scared when you jumped off that rock?
No.
It's a brave man right there. All right, thank you, Ezra, very, very much. Okay, Austin, share about your favorite story from the trip and how you saw the Lord move during the trip, please.
So I'll give a serious answer and a funny answer to the story one.
Amazing.
That's okay. So I'll say a funny one. So I don't know if you've ever been on a youth mission trip or camp event or whatever, but I love spending time with 12 through 18-year-olds because the humor, like almost anything's funny. Like, if you just say a word and it sounds funny, it gets to be a thing, it catches on, it's hilarious. And so I forgot exactly It was the word por qué, which why in Espanol. We just, and it was real late at night, you know, in our bunks, just, and someone says por qué in this really thick accent, and it just caught like a wildfire and was hilarious. So, yes, thank you for chuckling a little bit. Serious answer as far as favorite story and also kind of how I also saw God move was, like Ezra said, we got there. Plans were changed constantly. I think it was like maybe 2 or 3 weeks before we were planning on doing this VBS. We had planned, we had prepped all these things to do worship, to do teaching, crafts, all that. And then 2 or 3 weeks prior, we got an email from the organization. It was like, hey, COVID's shutting down this area you're going into, so you can't do your VBS. And so we did, like, it was all work projects. We weren't able to spend any time with the kids, but it was this amazing just picture of the kingdom of God just to step in where needs were. And we got so much done. Like Ezra said, we finished all the projects they had for us, like, by the middle of the week. And so we had to go and find other places to help, which was an awesome opportunity. And so just seeing God move through that, seeing God move through the hectics leading up to it, was just very, very incredible.
Thank you. Okay, and we have labeled Miss Allison the All-Star Mission Experience Expert of the Summer. That's right. She's going to get a plaque to put in her office. But Allison went on the high school mission trip, came back, had one day to just stare at a wall, and then she went on the middle school mission experience. So she did it all. So Allison, can you share about the differences in the middle school and high school and how you saw, like, just the Lord move in both of those?
You bet. Am I on? Not quite. We'll try. Awesome. Okay, so I went on basically a 2.5-week mission trip.
Yep.
Just with two different groups, which was amazing. And there were actually more similarities than differences. I think the biggest difference between the two was the high school mission trip was strictly work projects. The middle school mission trip, we got to engage with some kids at John 3:16, so we got to do some of that relational ministry as well. But what amazed me about both trips was the flexibility and the willingness for all of our students to jump in and do whatever we asked them to do. The high school mission trip, like Austin said, was constantly changing. I mean, even throughout 1 week, Paul on Monday came to me and was like, here's our plan. And then on Wednesday that week, it was like, nope, we're doing this instead. And things kept changing. And in spite of all of that, we just rolled with the punches. And it turned out to be an amazing trip for the high schoolers. I think one of the biggest things I noticed of God doing is the camp where we were, they had a summer that was packed full of mission teams that were coming out. And when we got there, they were down to us and two others. And then while we were there, they lost one of those teams. So they had so much that they needed to get done in order to be able to have school and camps for the future for this fall. And we were able to get it all done. And just to see how that blessed the teachers and the camp there was amazing. And then for the middle school, I think the neatest thing I saw was just us getting to spend time with these kids at John 3:16 and how kids are kids wherever you go, no matter what their circumstances are, and to see our students engage with that. And one of my favorite things, our volunteer coordinator, Miss Cindy, she asked us one day, like, well, why do people end up at John 3:16? How do they get here? And it just opened our eyes that so often we make a judgment call on how people get into certain circumstances or how they get where they are, and that's not always the case. I mean, John 3:16 is busting at the seams right now because of COVID. It's not because of any poor choices these families made. It was the circumstances that are happening in our world right now, and it was neat to see how so often we make a judgment call, and it's not always that way, and to start to look at things differently that week.
Awesome. Thank you. And Alexis, we're going to jump down to you. Can you share about where and what we did this summer and how you saw the Lord move, please?
So in the mornings, every day, we would go to John 3:16 Mission, the men's facility, And we would pick up trash around the building, or we cleaned tables one day. We restocked the pantry shelves and just do whatever they needed done that day. And then in the afternoons, we would go to the kids' camp for the Family and Youth Center and just play with the kids and help them do crafts or just watch movies with them and just talk and play. And then after that, after they left, we would stay in clean for the next day.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, Miss Lucy, what about your favorite story and how you saw the Lord move during the week?
Okay, so my favorite thing was, I just blanked.
That's okay. That was mine too. It's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It happens. it's a real thing. It happens.
So one of the evenings before we, actually, I don't remember what evening it was, but we just all gathered around a table in the youth center, and we worshiped, and it just was really cool just to worship, and I didn't want it to end. And then how I saw Christ move was just like the way that we all loved on the kids at John 3:16 and how they loved us back. And it was just so sweet. So.
Amen. All right, give it up for our students and leaders. You guys may be seated. Thank you. I just went blank too. It happens. I'm okay. All right, but it was such a different summer. Like Allison said, we had plans. The middle school was going to go to Austin, and we were going to work there. And then they had all these different ideas for the high school, but the second COVID hit, everything had to change. And so we had to just be fluid and flexible and roll with those changes. So thank you guys very much for sharing. And my name is Weston Dearman. I am the Family Ministries pastor here at the church. If you've never seen me before, that's because I shaved and I turned into a 14-year-old boy. They won't let me buy batteries now. I don't know. But I was just like, please, I need these batteries. So, yes. And we're just going to continue this morning talking about serving. Some of us have different ideas of what serving is. Some of us have different examples. For instance, serving, some of you guys might think of dinner. If you're like me, you say serving, you're like, dinner time, let's do this. Start ringing the bell. Get the plates, get the cups, get the knives, everything, get it out. For others of you who might be students, you think of serving as NHS, National Honor Society. You think of like, we've got all these hours that we have to get going to be an NHS. We have to get our community hours to serve. For others, some adults, it's helping the less fortunate. Like we do Saturday of service here at church, where we work with Christ for Humanity, Jinx Care Point. Like we said, we worked at John 3:16. That might be what you think of serving. And others still might think of filling a role that's needed at the church. You know, you come and you serve in the nursery, which is a great thing. We need more of you. You come and serve as a greeter, or you try not to get hit by a car on the road while you're waving. You know, all these different examples of serving. But what if when we heard the word serving, we pictured something completely different than just little pockets of time where we give up ourselves? What if we pictured our lifestyles and our everyday living? So as we turn this morning to Joshua 24, I'm going to open with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump into Joshua 24. Father God, we thank you so much for today, God. We thank you so much for the students who came up to share, for the band, Lord, leading us in worship, God. And we thank you that we can gather together, Lord, to lift up and praise your name. Father, I pray as we open your word, God, that you move in power, that you move in might, and that you are glorified. We love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Joshua 24. We're going to park at verses 14 and 15. But before we get there, I'm going to give a little bit of backstory leading up to it. So Joshua 24, this is where Joshua is challenging the people of Israel to live out what they truly believe and to figure out who they actually serve. But before he makes this challenge, before he tells them, like, okay, it's time to do this, pick who you're going to serve, he opens up with talking about God's faithfulness. He reminds them how faithful God is. And usually in times of trial, in times of doubt, we so easily forget that God is faithful. Amen? When we see the obstacle ahead of us, we kind of, this seems pretty scary, pretty bad. I'm not sure. So Joshua is reminding the children of Israel about God's faithfulness. In verses 2 through 4, he tells them about God's faithfulness to the patriarchs. God was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. All the promises he gave these men, he was faithful. Don't forget. Then in verses 5 through 7, he talks about how God was faithful in their escape of Egypt. Egyptians were faced with the plagues. Finally, Pharaoh lets them go. And the children of Israel are leaving. They get to the Red Sea. Uh-oh, Pharaoh's army is quick behind. They're faced with an army and the sea. God is faithful. God split the sea. The children of Israel went through it. And then not only did God protect them, he wiped out the Pharaoh's army. God is faithful. Then, verses 7 through 10, God is faithful in the wilderness. He provided manna. He provided safety. He took care of his people, even when he was displeased with them. Even when he was like, we're not going to let you in yet because you disobeyed, but I'm still going to be faithful. And lastly, verses 11 through 13, God's faithfulness in Canaan, which is the promised land. He's reminding them, look where we're at. Look at what God promised us and provided for us. God defeated these armies for us. And I love, love, love this in verse 13. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. God is faithful, always faithful. It might not be the way we expect or the way we want, but God is faithful. And that leads us to Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And this is the well-known verse that if you are like me, grew up in a Christian home, or even now, you might have a painting or a picture with this verse on it. Oh yeah, I can still remember walking in my house and the entryway had it right there. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And when he's talking about this, he's just not talking about a one-time thing of serving. Like me, dinner. Serving dinner, all right. Or serving here or there. He's talking about a life spent in ongoing act of service to the Lord. Not just a one-time thing. So now we're going to take this apart a little bit and just dive into these two verses for a few minutes. So in verse 14, we see that Joshua is challenging the people. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. That fear of the Lord, it talks about that in Psalms as well. It's a reverence. It's a devotion to the Lord. It's not saying like, fear the Lord. It's saying, know who you are and where you belong. Know who God is and know who you are. So we are to revere the Lord and serve him with devotion. So fear the Lord and serve him with sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. The word serve here is synonymous with worship. So I'm going to read this 14 and 15 one more time. And whenever you see serve, I'm going to say worship. Now therefore, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and worship the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to worship the Lord, choose this day whom you will worship, whether the gods of your fathers worship in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will worship the Lord. So when you do it like that, when you look at it that way, it changes things completely. It's not just serving. It's not just showing up for 2 hours and, yeah, we're going to serve. Then we're going to Mazio's and, you know, meet up with some friends later. This is a lifestyle of worship. Then we move on with verse 14. And this is where it starts getting real, where I think Joshua's like, okay, I've told you how God's faithful. Now you need to put your money where your mouth is. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt. Basically saying, run away from your past. Don't look back. Keep moving. And that's same true to us today. That same saying is true to us today. We got to keep going. We don't look back. We don't focus on our old gods, our old way of life. And then in verse 15, it gets very real. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your father serve in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So he's standing in front of his people. And he's just basically drawing a line in the sand. You're either with him or you're against him. You need to figure out this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve the God who is faithful time and time again, who's faithful to your forefathers, who's faithful to get you where you're at now? Or are you going to serve your own way of life, your own appetites, whatever you want to do? And I love this, the challenge to lead by example. And that's what made Joshua such a great leader, is that he was willing to lead by example. He didn't leave this part out. He was in front of the whole congregation of people. And he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua leads by example. And he stood on this. He didn't just say it, and then the people are like, oh, well, we're not going to follow you because we've seen how you live. We know what you do when you're not in church. We know what you do, how you behave when you're away from other believers. We know how you are. No, Joshua was serious about this. As for me and my family, we're going to be active in serving and worshiping the Lord. This is not something that Joshua did when he felt like it, when he wasn't tired, when he had time, when he wasn't stressed. This is a lifestyle of worship. And guys, as we transition right now to just the last part of this service, I want to challenge us to lead by example. Parents in this room, one of the scariest things in my life is being a parent. I pray for my daughters constantly, and it worries me when I see them act like me sometimes. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You're like, oh, I can't believe they're just, you know, they get mad. And I'm like, oh, was that me or their mother? That was their mother. Kidding. I'm kidding. But no, it's so scary when we see our children do those things. But parents, we have to choose to live for the Lord. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We have to choose every day to live a life of worship for the Lord. Not when we have time, not when it's convenient, not when we're just happy, in the good times and the bad. We have to choose to follow the Lord. It's a heavy thing, but it's real. And so, just as Joshua did all those years ago, I want to give the same challenge to everyone in this room to lead by example and live for the Lord. To lead your families in a righteous way, not getting it perfect, because we will never get it perfect. I apologize to my daughters and my wife constantly. And I pull them up and I get on their level and I'm like, baby, daddy should not have done that. Will you forgive me? And they're like, yes, daddy, I'll forgive you. And they just hug me. And then, you know, something gets in my eye and I tear up a little bit. But that's the example that we're called to be. We're not called to be perfect, but we're called to own it when we're not. And so that's my challenge today. Let us lead by example. Let us worship the Lord in our lifestyles, in the way we live each second of each day. Not be content with coming to church on Sundays. Not be content with serving on weekends, but making it a part of our everyday life. Bow with me. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your word, God. Lord, we thank you that we are not called to be perfect, God, because we can't. But Lord, we know someone who can. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for the hope that we have in you. And I pray now, God, that we can cling to you, Father, that you will give us your strength, your perseverance, God, with whatever season we're in right now, Lord, that we can rely on you and live a life of worship for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.